Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Shout out to everybody tuned in, locked in all over North America. I'm going to be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. It's a 4-hour show. I've been here for 1 hour. I get started at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. If you want to listen to every minute, every hour, every second, you want to hit rewind, you can do all of that on the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Thank you to people tuned in on their local affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 158, people on CBSSportsRadio.com, people tuned in on smart speakers, where all you have to do, ask that device to play CBS Sports Radio. It's Thursday night. It's a football game going on in Lambeau Field right now. The Detroit Lions are beating the Green Bay Packers 34-17. The Green Bay Packers, they better get this the hell on. A little less than 4.5 minutes left in the game. They're driving towards their own red zone area, trying to put another score up on the board. They've been playing catch-up. At halftime, Detroit led 27-3. They just went on a long drive. Detroit did. Scored a touchdown to extend it to 34-17. And Green Bay, they got some work to do. They're going to have to score and just make some stops if they want to come away with the victory. I don't foresee it. If Green Bay has a comeback, it'll be a massive, massive comeback. I expect the Lions to hold on to this one. We'll keep you up to date as it continues on. Thank you to super producer and host Dave Shepard. He's holding it down for us on the boards in New York City. As I'm expecting these Lions to, damn it, be the first team to win 3 games in the NFC North and go to 3-1. And even though it looks like Green Bay is probably going to lose, Jordan Love, man, they blitzed the living hell out of him to start this game. And it wasn't even necessarily a blitz. They just pressured him. They just pressured him with the front linemen, and they were all up in his face, and it was crap until we got here in the second half. So we'll keep you up to the date, or keep you up on the game as it continues on. If you want to talk to me, it's simple. It's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can also find me online. I am at JR Sport Brief. You know, to open up the show, we talked about this game. We talked about the Vikings in the NFC North, Justin Jefferson letting everyone know, I don't care if we're 0-3. I don't want us to think about trading anyone. We discussed the New York Jets. We spoke to Bob from Maryland. Hey, Shep, what did he say? He was 86? He's going to be 87?
Yes, 86 and a half right now.
Good for him.
Born in 1937.
Good for him. He wants none of these damn players making money. Well, he wants them to make less. See, but the thing is that the money is made. Why should the majority go to the owners? Like, there's Yeah, granted, there is no league without the owners, right? Somebody has to have the team or own it structurally, but there is no game without the players.
Yes, and I don't mean to speak for Bob, but I think Bob obviously comes from an era where you played close to 162 games, where it seems like now that's a complete thing of the past, and it's a minor miracle if these guys even play 130, 140, i.e. Mike Trout. And so I think more than ever, these contracts, at least professionally, they're not coming close to being honored, JR. And so I feel like for a lot of players, Kawhi Leonard in the NBA, obviously Anthony Davis, it seems like they're almost stealing money.
Yeah, some of them, not everybody.
It seems like more than there are not.
No, that's just only because people care about stars. I mean, if I got to think about a roster, if I want to look at a 25-man baseball roster, how many of the dudes on the team are actually stars? It's like half of a baseball roster is probably pitchers in the bullpen that you've never heard of in your life. If I got to think about an NBA roster, it's smaller. But let's be real. What are they, one, two stars for the most part on every team, if that? And so I think it's only weighted that way. Oh, my God. Detroit Lions here with an interception in the red zone, and that'll probably be all that she wrote. 4 minutes left in the game, 34-17, the Lions lead, and they just took the wind out of the sails here of the Green Bay Packers. Jordan Love trying to put a score up on the board, and he ends up throwing it to the Lions and throwing away the game in the process. I wonder how many Lions fans are going to end up walking out of this damn stadium, Lambeau, you know, after that result. Pretty sad. He just completely blew it there. This one is about all she wrote. Jacobs comes down with the interception. Nice, nice pickoff. Anyway, speaking of Wisconsin, we know that Damian Lillard is going to be on his way to the Milwaukee Bucks. The news dropped yesterday. A trade went out. And today we had a piece from a Bleacher Report that went into a little bit more detail about Damian Lillard, his exit, why he is not in Miami. And it went down to the fact that the Portland Trail Blazers did not take Miami seriously. And so they pretty much stopped trying to communicate in July. Damian Lillard was not happy with this fact, thought that the Portland Trail Blazers allowed everything to become a little personal and refused to move him to Miami. That's what they said. And so there was no communications there, really, at all. And so as we move closer to training camp, just over the past few weeks, it became apparent that he wasn't going to go to Miami. And then lo and behold, Damian Lillard actually expressed that since I'm not going to Miami, I'd like to rescind my trade request and return to the Portland Trail Blazers. And the Blazers basically said, no, no, like that ship has sailed. And so now, moving forward, we know that he ultimately got shipped to Milwaukee. The only other two real possibilities were Milwaukee and Brooklyn. And then we see where Damian Lillard ended up. He is now going to be playing with Giannis Antetokounmpo in the Milwaukee Bucks. We talked about that song he put out last night or yesterday, Damian Lillard basically saying he's not there anymore because of the Blazers. And I got to be honest here, man. I like Damian Lillard. I have enjoyed how hard he has played. He's exciting to watch. He is clutch. I've seen him in person. He's real personable with the fans. He takes time. He's a likable guy. But I don't want to say this entire experience has made me go, what are you doing? But more recently, is Damian Lillard? I don't think he's playing the victim. Is he naive? Does he not understand what things look like from the outside? You wanted to be traded. They didn't trade you. Now you want to go back. And now you're putting out songs saying that, you know, it's not your fault that you're not there. You are the one who initiated the trade request. I mean, I'm not married, but I don't think I can go outside and say, hey, babe, I want to leave. I want a divorce. And when I don't find another spouse or you know, I don't feel you're helping me find another spouse, then now I want to come back. I know it's not exactly the same, but you can't go out leaving. Go shopping, go hunting, you know, desire somewhere, something else, someplace else. And when you don't get it, you want to go back? Like, that sounds like a recipe for disaster. What would the Portland Trailblazers have gained to just be suckers to Damian Lillard? He wants to leave. They try to facilitate him leaving in a way that is advantageous to them. It doesn't happen. He feels that he's being slighted because he actually had the request. He says, I want to come back. And they go, no. They get chopped down across the league. They get looked upon like they're idiots across the league if they bend over twice for Damian Lillard. Bending over backwards once to try to acquiesce to his trade demand. And then they look like extra suckers to say, oh, yeah, sure, man, come on back. Because if I'm other NBA teams, I'm looking at the Blazers saying, man, if Damian Lillard is taking them for a ride, if he is dictating to them the terms of where he goes, where he doesn't go, then, man, I can take advantage of him too. And so I'm a little surprised that Damian Lillard has taken this approach. This is the same dude who's talked about being loyal and not wanting to leave. And it depends on what the team does and whether or not they want me, and et cetera, and on and on. He ain't played the end of last season. They were able to draft Scoot Henderson. And the reality is, sorry, man, who were the Blazers going to move? Like, who the hell were they going to, or bring in, I should say, in exchange for Scoot Henderson? The answer is nobody. And so if I got to look at a dude who just started playing out of high school, just got out of the G League, and I'm staring at a 34-year-old point guard, it's simple. Who am I going to build around? It's going to be you or him. It's the young guy. And so it wasn't so much that Damian Lillard, he just up and wanted to go. It was the fact that they weren't going to move Scoot after acquiring him, and then he wanted to go. I think Damian Lillard has been living in a little bit of a fantasy land here. It's like, hey, I've been loyal to the team. The team should help me out. And it's like he didn't factor in that they have to go on and live life and build the team after you. There were a Portland Trailblazers squad before Damian Lillard. I know he says he left them better than he found them. And where exactly is that? What, just a team going to the playoffs? I mean, before Damian was there, there was a team. Now that he's gone, there's still going to be a team. The Blazers will be around post-Damian Lillard. So I'm actually pretty surprised that he said that. And I hope this is over. You know, he hasn't bashed them. It's going to be a love fest when he goes back to Portland and Portland comes to Milwaukee. It will certainly be something that everyone wants to see. But how many of these players switching teams, how many of them actually end up in a positive sense? Things typically get ugly in every sense, in every regard. As the Green Bay Packers are on the station in front of me here, or Amazon, for Thursday Night Football, the transition from love or to love from Rodgers wasn't smooth. The transition from Favre to Rodgers wasn't smooth. We could say the same thing if we want to go back and think about Montana and Young. It's not easy to pass the baton. It's not easy for the old dude to move on. This is what the athletes tend to forget at times. Man, when you're done and you're cooked and you're retired, the team still has to go ahead and put butts in seats. The general manager still has to think about life past you. And we've seen some athletes in some ugly uniforms to end their careers. Patrick Ewing wearing Seattle Supersonics colors? Patrick Ewing in a Magic jersey? Akeem Olajuwon in a Raptors jersey? Gary Payton in the purple and gold? Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett in Brooklyn Nets black? Like, we've seen some legends put on some uniforms where you just go, huh? Damian Lillard isn't ancient yet. He's probably at the back end of his prime, one injury away from just losing it. One step, two seasons away from probably losing it. But the fact is, man, you're competing for a championship. Don't be mad and don't scream that Portland didn't want me. It hurt my feelings. Oh, Portland didn't want me. I wanted to go back. Blame them for why I'm not here. No, man. Blame you. You should have left, well, I would say, a couple of years ago. You stuck around. And then when it was too late, then you wanted to leave. I'm sure the Blazers would have kept you. Man, you wanted to blow the whistle. You wanted to, you know, pull the ripcord. So just please, don't paint the picture that it wasn't you, that it was them. Kind of backwards thinking. Good luck to Damian Lillard in Milwaukee. I think he'll be fine unless he gets hurt. Or Middleton gets hurt. Or Giannis gets hurt. Or Lopez gets hurt. But they'll be fine unless they get hurt. But he's better off than what he would have been in Portland. And for as much as he talks about Portland being his home, what's the big deal, man? They ain't going to win no championship probably while you're still in the NBA. You got a better chance of winning one with Giannis. Stop the belly aching. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. The Lions trying to finish this one out. 34-20 is the score over the Green Bay Packers. We're sitting at the 2-minute warning. We'll give you an update on this game when we come back on the other side of the break. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Damian Lillard isn't the only dude. This is, I guess, a night of talking, people throwing barbs. The Jets are throwing barbs at each other. Justin Jefferson defending the Vikings from the barbs that they're receiving. I got to tell you about Nick Saban. Yeah, Nick Saban, he actually came to the defense, I believe, of Deion Sanders. We'll hear from him on the other side of the break. We'll give you an update on this Thursday night football score.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
I even got my wife into listening to you, man. You know, like when I come home at night, she already have you on, like walking the house. I'm getting out the car, and you know, and then I'm walking in the house and I'm still hearing you, man.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
Oh, yeah, man. Shout outs to the wives. Wives are amazing. I love them. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. We got a final score in Lambeau. The Lions hold on to beat the Green Bay Packers. The final score, 34-20. The Lions beat Green Bay 34-20. The Lions improved to 3-1 on the season. Green Bay falls to 2-2. The only people left in Lambeau Field right now happen to be Lions fans in Hawaii Blue celebrating in the stands. And this was pretty much, I don't want to say a catch-up game, but the Lions controlled the game from the get-go. Well, let me not say that. We did see Jared Goff throw an interception out of the gate. The Green Bay Packers able to capitalize. And although they did not score 7 on the turnover, they kicked the field goal. They made it 3. And after that, the Detroit Lions scored 27 unanswered points. It was 27-3 at halftime. It wasn't until we got into the third quarter where Green Bay tried to make it a little bit of a game. And then when you thought that maybe there might be something, Jordan Love threw an interception in his own red zone, and that pretty much sealed the deal. 34-20, the Lions bully Green Bay, and the score not necessarily indicative of what really took place tonight. A matter of fact, let's listen to some of the play calls as things got going here. This is all courtesy of the Lions Radio Network. Starting off, Jared Goff, after throwing that interception and allowing them to score 3, he hit back. A 24-yard touchdown pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown to put the Lions up 7-3 in the first.
Lions knocking on the door now. First and 10 from the Packer 24. Goff takes the shotgun snap back, wants to throw over the middle. Got a man wide open. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Goff looked up, saw 14. There wasn't a Packer in sight. Lofted it to him inside the 5, made the grab, dove into the end zone. 24 yards, second of the year for Amon-Ra.
Yeah, that's a touchdown of the passing variety. If we continue on, at the end of the first quarter, David Montgomery, who finished the night, 32 carries, 121 yards to go along with 3 touchdowns. This was his first touchdown of the game. It extended the lead to 14-3.
Goff up under center. Montgomery the lone back behind him. Laporta in motion to the left. Goff turns, gives to Montgomery, left side, finds a crease, spins into the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions. The left side just opened up and 5 followed his blocking right to the house.
Shame. And it wasn't just the offense that did all of the work. I told you, heading into halftime, Green Bay only could muster 3 points. The defense, all up in the face of Jordan Love, Aiden Hutchinson coming through with a sack, finishing the night with a sack and a half. He's a beast. And you know what? It wasn't just sacks. They were out here. They forced Jordan Love not just into that interception at the end of the game, but they had another one early in the second quarter. Listen to this.
Love, hard count, Lions don't bite. There's the snap, fakes the give, sets in the pocket, throws over the middle, knocked up in the air, intercepted. Intercepted by the Lions, come back the other way, Jerry Jacobs. Picks up a block at the 15, Jacobs cutting back at the 10. Jacobs spun down at the 7-yard line. A takeaway for the Lions. Sets them up with great field position, and the Lions, already leading 17-3, have got it back.
This was abuse, and that's what happens when you put pressure on the QB. It's called turnovers. And so as a result, the Lions got the ball back. I told you, David Montgomery, this man had 3 touchdowns. You heard the first. Listen to this TD. This was his second, and it put the Lions up 24-3, and this is still before halftime.
Goff up under center. Montgomery the lone back behind him. Second and goal from the Packer 2. Montgomery again. Cuts it left to the house. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. David Montgomery, second touchdown of the night, and the Lions extend their lead. What a first half by this football team.
I mean, damn, you hear some of the fans are sad. You hear the Lions fans, they're thrilled. And you know what? Let's get another one. I told you Montgomery had 3 touchdowns. Let's listen to the third.
Fourth and goal from the 1 for the Lions. Goff up under center. Single back is Montgomery. Goff takes, turns, gives to Montgomery, straight up the gut, fights his way in, touchdown Detroit Lions! David Montgomery powers it home, and the Lions extend their lead.
Their lead went to 34-17 at that point. And it was just like, oh my God, the Green Bay Packers, they might have a little bit of life. They might have something here. And then they had nothing. Because Jordan Love was getting into his own red zone, getting closer to his own end zone, hoping that they still had some life. And then Jerry Jacobs said, hey, Jordan, nope. Listen to this.
Here come the Packers from the Lion 14. Love back, sets, looks, throws, intercepted. Picked up by the Lions, Jerry Jacobs, second of the night. Jacobs to the left sideline, and he'll just run out of bounds at the 18-yard line. That should ice this ball game. Jerry Jacobs, second interception of the night. The Lions have got it back with a 17-point lead and 4 minutes and 5 seconds to go here at Lambeau Field.
Man, I thought the Lions were going to choke this one away. They open up the game throwing an interception and in Green Bay. I'm like, oh, they couldn't even score a touchdown. They got a field goal. And the Lions controlled them. The Lions have taken after their head coach. We're going to talk about Dan Campbell later on in the show. Because we heard about all the biting kneecaps and punching old ladies and all that other stuff that he went out there and preached. And the Lions are definitely an aggressive team. And tonight they walk away with a victory and they sit at the top of the NFC North. And through the first 3-4 games of the season, the Detroit Lions look like the favorites to walk away. No postseason berth last year, a little bit too late of a turnaround, but it looks like the Lions will be in control of this division unless one of these teams turn it around, and I don't think either of them will. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Man, even the Lions fans are traveling strong. I told you, they're still in Lambeau. As I watch the studio, the post game, they are still in Lambeau getting ready to see their stars get back out onto the field for post game interviews. A matter of fact, when we come back from break, I want you to hear how excited the Lions fans were in Lambeau Field. We'll talk more about this game. We will hear from the athletes and the players as they finish up and get ready for media availability. Stay tuned here on CBS Sports Radio. If you want to call me, it's simple, 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, thanks for taking my call. Your show is badass, and you always have a good quality bunch of callers. First of all, I'd tell you, man, I'm a big fan of yours, man. You kill it, man. You do great shows at night, man.
Hey, JR, how's it going? Just want to say I appreciate you. You're my late-night therapist, so I appreciate you. Thank you.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. We just talked about it. You just heard it from myself. You heard it from Marco Belletti. The Detroit Lions win a football game tonight in Lambeau, 34-20. If you remember the end of the last season, the Lions pretty much gave Aaron Rodgers the boot out of Green Bay to end his time there. And the Lions have now beat the Packers 4 straight times. As they win tonight 34-20 to improve their record to 3-1. The Detroit Lions, the best team right now in the NFC North. One of the most aggressive teams in the NFL, and the Green Bay Packers fall to 2-2. It's unfortunate that Jordan Love is in a transition. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is gone. Everybody's hoping that he moves forward. You know, even tonight in this loss, and we've seen him now for 4 games, he's going to have his ups and he's going to have his downs. But when you look at some of the throws that he makes and where he places the ball, and I know he had two interceptions tonight, especially a poor interception and a poor choice by him to basically throw the ball away. But Jordan Love looks like he's going to be very good with some refinement. And so there is a little bit of a silver lining if you're a fan of the Green Bay Packers. I mean, they were down 27-3 at halftime, and they fought back. The defense, let's think about this. They didn't allow but one more Lions score in that second half, and the Green Bay Packers were able to put up some points. Jordan Love is not a quitter. Jordan Love is not a bum. He's not a scrub. Is he going to climb into the upper echelon of QBs? Who knows? But I feel right now, for what we see, he's good. He's good. And hopefully, I would think he can continue to get better. The Detroit Lions had a lot of fans that showed up in Green Bay. Crap ton of them. Okay? And then, I mean, even at the end of the game, I told you about Jordan Love throwing an INT. And once we finished with the game, the Lions fans, they were in full effect. Take a listen. This is courtesy of the Lions Radio Network.
And you want to talk about something beautiful? They did it again. Over there behind the Lions bench, just a sea of blue here at Lambeau Field. Reminiscent of last January when they did the same thing. When the Lions came in here and knocked Aaron Rodgers and the Packers out of the playoffs, they represented, and they did it again tonight. They are over there just chanting, "Let's go Lions," full throat behind that Lions bench.
Damn. I can't remember the last time. You know what? There is no last time. There is no last time that I heard anybody screaming, chanting in unison, "Let's go Lions." In a visitor's ballpark? In a rival's ballpark? The Lions have stepped into going from being a laughingstock. The Detroit Lions are a good football team, and it started at the end of last season, at the midway point, and it's continuing on here in 2023. It's crazy. Somebody who's trying to show them love happens to be the opposing head coach, Matt LaFleur. He just spoke to the media, and he said, "Man, the Lions, you got to give them a pat on the back." Listen to this.
"They came in and they whooped us pretty good. I was pleased with our team's effort in the second half. I told them, I had challenged them at halftime that, you know, to just continue to go out there and compete. I thought we did that. We had an opportunity. It was down 10 and we had a bad penalty to make it a 3-possession game."
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. I'm still on the fact that we heard people chanting, "Let's go Lions."
And you want to talk about something beautiful? They did it again. Over there behind the line.
Yeah, it's crazy. "Hey, Shep, how come all the bad teams that have bad reputations and stink, how come they can all eventually turn things around but not the Jets?"
13 years and counting. Well, listen, it helps when your golden goose, four plays into a season, goes down, right?
Oh, wow. It was always a possibility. I just think about some, if we think about teams that have just been laughing stocks and have performed poorly, I think about the Sacramento Kings. And now all of a sudden the Sacramento Kings are like, "Hey, we can go to the playoffs." They're going to be in the playoffs for the next several years. Damn it, they might even push the limits if they can continue to improve. I think about the Detroit Lions, just one of the biggest laughing stocks in the NFL. And then, I mean, who's in the news all the damn time? The Jets. It's like even when the Jets have a little bit of success, the Jets won the offseason. What are they winning in the regular season? The answer is nothing. So congratulations to the Lions, their fans. They actually have a team that they can root for. They have a head coach who is absolutely nuts. He's out of his mind. The Detroit Lions are an easy team to root for. I don't know if they're going to pick up any new fans, but I like Dan Campbell. I'd like to see Dan Campbell in a room with Bill Belichick.
You know what this is called, JR?
What is it?
This is called, "Thank God we don't have Matt Patricia." That's what this is called.
from the fan base or what?
Yes. Yes. They got the right guy and they got rid of the wrong guy. And that's why it's making the world of difference. Even that season they went 3-13, they were playing in every game. Yeah. Every game.
They played hard. Yeah,
correct.
They follow his lead. I mean, when your head coach used to play in the league, when he is still jacked out of his mind, when he's talking about biting kneecaps and biting people and gouging eyes, and he's a different dude. It's like Dan Campbell has got a couple of screws loose from his time playing in the NFL, and the players respect him. I think that's what it boils down to. The players respect Dan Campbell. It's like the opposite of what Jet fans get when it comes down to Rob Saleh. I mean, the mark of a coach, first and foremost, he has to have the respect of the players. It's like Mike Tomlin is great. It's why Dan Campbell is great. Bill Belichick, regardless of how you feel about him, not everybody has to like him. A lot of his players, some of his players don't like him. You respect them. Dan Campbell has helped turn his team around, man. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Spencer is calling from Tennessee. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's going on, Spencer?
Just got out of work. How you doing, JR?
I'm excellent, man. Lions are excellent, too.
Yeah, I'm from Michigan, funny enough, so it's fantastic seeing them be this great. But I got a slight hot take for you. I want to hear your opinion. What do you think about Mr. Brian Branch becoming Defensive Rookie of the Year if he stays healthy by the end of the year?
Isn't it a little too early for that?
I mean, if he keeps up the production he's been doing and getting all these pass breakups and this and that, and the nickel spot that he's playing, it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, I'd be very interested to see how he bounces back. Did you see the game?
I watched the whole first half. I did see that he ended up getting hurt, so I hope he stays
right.
Healthy.
That's what I'm saying. And so we don't know how he's going to return or what he's going to do. They taped him up. I have no idea what he's going to look like moving forward. He was on the sidelines. He was back out there. And so, yeah, sure, it wasn't a serious injury. But, yeah, I mean, you know, when it comes down to ankles, he might have been able to go back out there and play after a tape job. But that's not a guarantee that, you know, over the next 24 hours, he's not going to be in a crap position, you know?
Yeah, no, that's fair. And then I got one more thing to say about him is how about getting David Montgomery out of the garbage Chicago area and bringing him over and turning into a pretty solid back.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are trying to understand the Lions and their usage of drafting Jahmyr Gibbs so high to ultimately, I don't want to say, pretty much push him out there. And David Montgomery didn't even play in the Lions beatdown where they smacked around the Falcons because he was dealing with a hip. So it doesn't even appear that the Lions have really, like, opened things up from an offensive perspective. They're still going to have a lot of time to do that, man.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they are just, it's insane to see them go from game one looking a little rusty to they're starting to pick it up. If they can keep it going, making me pretty happy.
Nah, as you should be, man. I mean, there ain't too much the Lions have given people to be enthusiastic about. Thank you, Spencer, for calling from Tennessee. The Detroit Lions, you want to talk about success, they have won 6 straight division games for the first time since 1995. And some guy named Barry was still on the team. And I see Amazon is going to be releasing some type of documentary about Barry Sanders and stepping away from the game when he did. I think that comes out in October. That should be a must-watch. I'm going to sit and watch it. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Glenn is calling from Toronto. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, man. Just a quick couple of quick things. I'm actually really happy for Detroit. Like that fan base deserves something because they put up with years of mismanagement and garbage and, you know, basically saying
you didn't
like
GM McMillan.
Yeah, not giving Barry Sanders a good team around him, not giving Megatron a good team around him. And I'm happy for them, and I hope it continues. And Jared Goff might actually. You know, just remember, he was a guy that went to the Super Bowl. So, you know, there's that. And Also, just a quick thing about Damian Lillard trade. I didn't see Milwaukee coming. I don't know about you, but I never saw Milwaukee coming.
No, I didn't. I still thought, well, I said this the other night. I didn't believe that the Raptors were realistic.
Yeah,
I thought that they were being played for leverage. But I'm not shocked that he went to Milwaukee. I don't think anybody would have been shocked, really, any place that he would have gone.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only been so many contenders in the East, and you have Milwaukee. Yeah. Yeah, the 76ers would have been a possibility. Brooklyn, possibly. I just knew he was going to go somewhere. I just find it a little out of character, or I'm a little surprised that he is thought that he was going to get let back in. Maybe Damian Lillard is leading by his feelings and not his brain. I wouldn't be surprised.
The thing with him is I think all the people in the West are just happy it's not another Western Conference team he went to. Like, you know, I think Phoenix is ecstatic to get him out of the West, and then it's a great move. I just worried about if they don't win, what they had to give up to get him, including all those first round picks, it could be catastrophic for Milwaukee, because by the time those first round picks come, Antetokounmpo might not be there anymore. So, you know, because it's, 28 and 29, right?
Yeah, but the idea is for them to win a championship or two over the next two seasons, so no one cares about what happens in 2028.
Yeah, listen, if it works, it works. I hope for them, their case, it does. And, you know, good luck to the Lions for the rest of the season. I hope it continues.
Sure. Thank you, Glenn, for calling from Toronto. Yeah, I mean, the idea in making these picks, you hope that they don't matter. That's the hope. The Milwaukee Bucks ain't thinking about 28 and 29. They're thinking about maxing out while they have a 33-year-old Damian Lillard in the building. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to get some more of your calls on the other side of the break. We had a Thursday Night Football matchup where the Green Bay Packers lose to the Lions, the final score 34-20. More of your calls on the other side. I'm sure people have thoughts on Damian Lillard. The baseball season is coming to a wrap and a close. The Orioles are a team that they were another laughing stock, and look at where they're at. Maybe the Lions will follow them. We'll hear from the players as well here on CBS Sports Radio. Don't move.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Summer may be over, but the beach is open. Whether you're a longtime Bachelor fan or never seen a single show, this season of Bachelor in Paradise is for you. The premise of the show is pretty straightforward. You've got 20 beautiful singles living on a beach with one goal: to find love. There's sure to be romance, laughter, and complete chaos. Love triangles will form, so will love squares and even love hexagons. 'Cause life's a beach, and then you cry, and cry some more. Yes, this season is going to be bananas. But after 8 years of successfully uniting soulmates and marriage and kids, there is still magic in paradise. So only one question remains: who will find love next? Bachelor in Paradise, Thursdays 9, 8 Central on ABC and stream on Hulu.
I'm Eli Roth, and the upcoming second season of my podcast, A Ghost Ruined My Life from Travel, you'll hear real, horrifying accounts from actual victims who came face-to-face with a paranormal and survived.
It was the shape of a small human, and it was pure blackness, like nothing I've ever seen before in my life.
A ghost? You saw a ghost?
Yeah, I did.
Listen to A Ghost Ruined My Life with Eli Roth from Travel, wherever you get your podcasts, and prepare to be terrified.